turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 2. I'd like to read verses 3 through 5 and then go over to chapter 5 and read verses 2 and 3. 1 John 2, verse 3 through 5, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." And then in chapter 5, verses 2 and verse 3, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Then, looking at the Christian life as it's illustrated in the book of 1 John, we've seen so far that it is a life of relationship with the Lord, that is a life that you and I have the opportunity to live. It is a life of fellowship with the Lord. It is a life of joy. It is a life of walking in the light. And we see from these verses, it is also a life of obedience to the Lord. So the life that the saved individual is privileged to live and has the opportunity to live is a life of obedience. And really, our relationship with the Lord and obedience go hand in hand. You cannot separate the two. The more, the deeper our relationship, the more we want to obey. The more we obey, the deeper our relationship becomes. It's also the same with fellowship. The more fellowship we have with the Lord, the more we want to obey. And the more we obey, the more fellowship we have with the Lord. It also is the same with the joy of the Lord. The more we obey, the more joy we have. We've already seen that happiness is not something that is to be pursued. It is the result of, and it is the result of obedience. It is the result of relationship with the Lord. It is a result of fellowship with the Lord. And we see if we're walking in the light, we will obey. And the more we walk in, and the more we obey, the more we will walk in the light. So all of these things are connected to obedience to the Lord. It's no wonder today that people fight against obedience, because the devil knows that you cannot possibly enjoy the life that God has given you. You cannot possibly live the life that God has given you if you get sidetracked from obedience. So the life that we are privileged to live is a life of obedience. This is the habit of obeying. The habit of obeying God. It is the habit of being in compliance to a command, to a directive, to a prohibition, to a known law. It is being in compliance. It is submission. Obedience is submission. It is submission to authority. And the importance of obedience is seen in Samuel's words to Saul. He said, "To obey is better than sacrifice." There in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22. So today we want to begin to look at the elements of obedience. What is involved in obedience? Well, first of all, obedience implies authority, and therein immediately is a problem for many. Obedience means authority, and it means that we are in submission to that authority. So the two of the elements of obedience is authority and submission to that authority. Again, the truth is we all live under some authority. Romans 6 verse 16 makes that very clear. You either live under the authority of the flesh, or you live under the authority of the Spirit. But the authority for a child of God's obedience is the Word of God. That's our authority. That is our standard. In Luke chapter 5, in verse 4, Jesus said to the disciples who had been fishing all night and had caught nothing, he said, "Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught." Simon Peter, as usual, stood up and spoke and says, "Master, we have toiled all night. We have fished all night. And we have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word," those three words, there's our authority. "At thy word, I will let down the net." At thy word, that's recognition of authority. I will let down the net, that is submission to the authority. And you'll notice it is in spite of all the circumstances that had gone on. They had fished all night. It didn't make sense. But that doesn't matter. You have the authority of God. God's authority doesn't change. And then you have submission to that authority. So those three words, "at thy word," that is the authority. And authority must be obeyed. Those three words are their marching orders. At thy word. That's our marching orders today, at thy word. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter what anybody else's opinion is. It doesn't matter what public opinion is. None of that matters. At thy word. That's our authority. Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. That doesn't change. At thy word. So, in other words, for there to be obedience, there has to be a standard. God's word is our standard. There has to be a code of behavior. And God's word is our code of behavior. You have to have something to obey. And today, you and I either obey the dictates of the flesh, or we obey the direction of the Spirit. Now notice here in 1 John 2 and verse 3, we have his commandments. His commandments are mentioned there in verse 3. They're mentioned also in verse 4. And then we have his word mentioned there in verse 5. That's our code of behavior. That's our standard. God's commandments, God's word. Today, the attitude of many is, "I don't want to hear the commandments. Commandments, commandments, commandments. That's all you talk about." You read the Bible, and if you eliminate all the commandments, you don't have anything left. And that's what these people are trying to do. They're trying to eliminate the Word of God. And the reason is because they want to live a life of disobedience. So you have to have a standard. His rules are our rules of conduct. They are, or his word is our rules of conduct. His word is his appointments, his determinations. It is his regulations. It's his directives. It's his sanctions. It's what God says we ought to do. They are his orders. And we realize today we live in a society that has adopted the philosophy of moral relativism, which basically means there is no standard of right. There is no standard of wrong. You determine your own standards. But every commandment of God says differently. Every single commandment of God speaks loud and clear that there is a standard. And that standard is God's word. The world is always trying to lower God's standards. Churches today are doing the same thing, trying to lower God's standards. But again, we have the privilege of obeying God's standards, to live a life of obedience. Society today, of course, says there are no guidelines except those that you choose for yourself. If you want some guidelines, you choose them for yourself. You determine your own guidelines. But again, every commandment of God says that's not so. Every commandment of God says you are responsible to obey that command. Every commandment of God says that you are accountable. If God has a standard, you and I are responsible to obey it. And if God has a standard, you and I are accountable to obey it. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, we see that man is not left to his own devisings, and man is not the authority of his life. He said, we ought to obey God rather than men. That's still true today. We ought to obey God rather than men. And obedience to God is the opposite of following the dictates of the flesh. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. Talking about the life we should live as obedient children. And then notice what it says. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. If you fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, guess what? You are no longer an obedient child. You're disobedient. So the very opposite of obedience is to live according to the dictates of our flesh. So if we're going to obey, we have to deny the flesh. So in a day of mass confusion, in a day when man is groping about with no sense of direction whatsoever in his life, you look at most people today, and they have no sense of direction at all in their lives. None. They have no moral standard in their life other than the world. And as a result, and this is all a result of the reason they're groping about and the reason there's mass confusion on how to live their lives, it's all a result of detesting God's authority. It's a result of going away from God's authority. But the privilege of the child of God is to have direction in our lives. And why did God give us laws? Why did God give us commandments? Why does God say, do this and don't do this? Is it just so that he can have control over our lives? Is it just so he can take away your fun? Is that the reason? Is that the reason that God gave laws? Is that the reason we have all the commands of God? People will say, well, those commands are Old Testament. The principle is throughout the entire Word of God. I don't care if it's Old Testament or New Testament. Doesn't matter. But notice in Deuteronomy chapter 10, we have the reason for God's laws, God's standards. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? God requires something. God requires something of everybody. People today have invented a God in their minds that requires nothing of them. And they love that God. But the God of the Bible requires. He has some requirements. That's true whether you're saved or lost. God has requirements. But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, not the ones you pick and choose, in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command this day for thy good. For thy good. Even if lost man would obey the commandments of God, their lives would be better. Their lives would be better. Lost or saved, if you obey the commands of God, your life will be better. You will have a happier life. You will have better results in your life because the commands of God are there for thy good. So every time someone says, all you're doing is trying to ruin my fun, God says they're there for thy good. Those commands are there to protect you from yourself. A life of obedience. There's no better life than a life of obeying what the Lord has said. So obedience means authority and submission. But obedience also requires a knowledge of the law. Now, you know the old saying, ignorance of the law is no excuse. That's true. In fact, if you are ignorant of God's law, you will be held accountable for your ignorance. Why are you ignorant? Why are you ignorant? It's mostly because people have chosen to be ignorant and to be unaware of what God has said. They stop their ears. They don't want to hear what God has to say. Well, their ignorance is a result of their own disobedience. But obedience requires a knowledge of God's laws. You have God's law, that's our standard. So if we're going to obey, we've got to know what does God say. And that ought to always be our concern. In every situation of life, our concern ought to be, what does God have to say? And people will say, well, God hasn't said anything about this situation. You haven't read it enough. You haven't read far enough. God says something about everything. It may not be direct words, but the principles are there for every aspect of your life. God says something. And therefore, it ought to always be our desire, what does God say about this? It ought to always be a desire to know. And then, of course, we have to obey what we know. So the child of God should desire to learn what God would have them to do. Now I get people all the time that will ask, well, what does God expect in this situation? Some ask because they really want to know, but most ask, already made up their mind, that unless what God says goes along with what they want to do, I mean, they're not going to listen. Doesn't matter what God says. They're going to do what they want to do anyway. But in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 1, Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day. Why were they to hear? That ye may learn them. He says, hear the word of God, that you may learn. Not just for the sake of hearing, but that you may actually learn and keep and do them. Then notice in Psalm 119, and verse 71 and 73. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It is good that I might learn thy statutes. Verse 73, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. And notice in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 17. He says, learn to do well. Learn to do well. We have to learn God's word. Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 16. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people. Diligently learn. There has to be a knowledge of God's commandments. When people say, well, I didn't know. I didn't know that was wrong. Why not? Why didn't you know? Not knowing is not an excuse. Why didn't you know? Well, no one told me. Did you ever think about maybe finding out for yourself? Maybe opening God's Word and reading it yourself? So anytime we say, well, I didn't know that was wrong, we need to ask ourselves, why didn't I know? Chances are that you have heard somewhere along the line that it was wrong, but you didn't listen. So why, anytime we say, well, I didn't know. Well, you see, there's also a sin of not knowing. Why didn't you know? And we see as you read through the Psalms, and we're going to have to stop, and also the book of Deuteronomy, there needs to be a desire to be taught the ways of God. The psalmist over and over and over again prayed that God would teach him his statutes, his laws, his commandments. We need to pray that God would teach us, and we desire to learn these things so that we can obey, so that we know what to do, so that we know how to act. People today, you go, Brother Tim was talking about it, you go out today, people do not have the sense of an animal. They have no idea how to act. They really don't. It's unbelievable the way people act today. But they have no desire to know. They have no desire to know what is right. In their mind, what is right is what they have determined to be right. But you and I, as children of God, we have the opportunity, we have the privilege, and it is our responsibility to live a life of obedience. And I promise you, if you strive to obey God, your life will be better. It'll always be better. I promise you that obeying God is better than disobeying God every single time. No matter what the circumstances, doesn't matter. It's always better to obey than to disobey. Always. And people talk today about, well, you know, if you obey, it's going to cost you a lot. I'll tell you, every single time, disobedience costs you more than obedience. You may not see the exact cost at the time, but I promise you, disobedience always costs more. Always costs more than obedience. We need to believe that, and we need to practice that. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly